Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you've come. And we ask you to open up our hearts some more. You've opened them up through this time of worship to you. And so would you open up our hearts and our minds more to really learn more today in this season. What it was really, how it was important for you, what it was, all that you did by coming. So thank you, Jesus. Bless our time here. Continue in your name. Amen. Amen. I probably don't have to take a vote, but how many of you like Christmas? And some already the articles are showing up, like what to do with the stresses, what to do with depression, what to do with all that kind of stuff going on. I love Christmas. Christmas is beautiful, it's fun, full of activity, all kinds of good stuff. Good stuff. It's bright, it should be cheery, all of that. But we miss the point of Christmas if we only see light and no darkness. We miss the point of Christmas if we only see light and no darkness. Take a look at the first century, the time of Jesus' birth. It was very dark. We don't often think about that. The Romans were in charge of the most then-known world, and they were a brutal regime. Brutal. Everyone was captive. What we read in scripture is mainly about the nation of Israel and the people there, but all around it, it was brutal how they just took over, and they didn't care. There was no care. It was captivity with a capital C, and torture and killing, mass killing, probably like we haven't seen a lot since. It was dark, and Israel at the time, and that's why they're singing about it, because Israel, where Jesus came out of, Israel is in a very dark place. They were allowed to keep their religion, their Jewish religion, their faith in God, but they were really oppressed. And crucifixions were happening all the time, around the time of Jesus, even before Jesus was born. Crucifixions were happening. Anyone who resisted the government, resisted Rome, was crucified, killed, or they didn't tolerate anything. It was, excuse me, it was a very dark place. So hence the song, and Dwight, if you want to just put up the first slide of the song here, O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That nation was captive back then. And they mourned, like they were in exile. Next verse. O come now, day spring, come and cheer our spirits in thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, the death and death's dark shadows. Now, this song was written in the early 1800s, but they were trying to help us picture what was going on in that time. How dark it actually was. One more verse. And open wide the heavenly home, and make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path of misery. The path of misery. It was awful. If you talk about darkness to light, it was dark. And it was so compared to now, which is light. Now I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 8 to get a picture. And this is just before a little bit of the prophecy of Jesus coming. And it pictures how dark it is. In chapter 8, verse 19. And this is how dark Israel had gotten. The people there had gotten really dark. So we're jumping in the middle of a conversation. But the writer Isaiah says, someone may say to you, well, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. Like they were done. What's going on? How do we find our direction? We're lost. This is hopeless. It's dark. What do we do? Let's go ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But Isaiah says, but people shouldn't ask God, but shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living, I love this statement, should the living seek guidance from the dead? They're already dead. Why are you trying to ask what they would say? Ask God who is living. But they had forgotten God, and that's why it had gotten dark. Verse 20, look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. The nation of Israel, the Jewish people, were in the dark because they ignored God. Sounds a little bit like Canada. Sounds a little bit like the U.S. Sounds a little bit like many of the countries in the world. If they contradict God and they avoid God, there's a darkness that comes. That's what he's teaching here. They will go from one place to another and weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. How many people around the world curse God? What's he doing? Well, it's because he's dark. They will look up to heaven and down at the earth, and wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. And they will be thrown out into the darkness. That does not sound like Christmas at all. Nevertheless, chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Well, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future, he's prophesying ahead, when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And those who live in the land of the deep darkness, a light will shine. A dark place exists only because we haven't brought the light to it. A dark place only exists because we haven't brought the light. Who would like to light the first candle? Anyone? Oh, I saw your hand first. Irva, I got your name. Light one of the smaller candles. There you go. You can blow it out. Put it back on the table there. Thank you. Thank you. Light. Yeah. A light. Light has come to expel all darkness. That's why we have this beautiful wreath. Thank you, Corinne, for putting this together. The light, the Advent light. Light has come to dispel all darkness. The first words to begin creation were, let there be light. What was the first act of Christmas? Back then, when it started, what was the first act? What was the first thing that God did to start? What was it? What, huh? The star. Light. A bright light that the astrologers from the east saw and followed and then announced where Jesus was born, hidden, so to speak. The first action of the first Christmas was a bright star which led those who saw to the light of the world. Now, how many of you have been scared of the dark? Okay. Let me tell you two quick stories of my fear of the dark when I was a kid. And then I'm going to get you to share around your tables a little bit of your fear of the dark, or what you had, or whatever. So, one is, in my house, I always had my window, my bedroom window, open just a crack. And for the wind would whistle. I had my curtains drawn, and it would whistle. Who would that scare me? So what's the solution? No. No. It's call your mom to come and close the window.
You're right.
Right? No other. So I call out my mom. Mom, it's scaring me. I don't know why she kept doing it. But she kept coming in and closing that window. This is that simple. I grew up in a bi-level house. And so the stairs were in the middle of the house, and then all our living up here, and then we had our basement that had a bunch of neat stuff and all that kind of stuff. But you come down the stairs, and then you had to go around the corner to where the light switch was that turned out all the basement lights. But you had to turn it off and walk around to these stairs in the dark and run up the stairs. I broke a record every time in speed, because you flick it off and it's dark and you quickly ran up because something's gonna get you. Like, that's what, weird. Oh, one more. I remember where my youth leader was. We lived in a rural area, so he was over there on top of one kind of hill, and then you had to run, and I ran, because it dipped down, and on this side was a big pond, a deep pond. What grows? Deep ponds. So I sprinted all the way to home. So, tell your stories. Give you a couple minutes. Share with each other, and you can do this at lunch with the rest of your family, but where have you been scared of the dark? Go ahead.
That was me at home. I'm going downstairs. I think it's a little dust. Separate from the girls.
Thank you.
people.
Why does this matter? What is it about the darkness of the first Christmas? What does that matter? We live in a world that has many dark places. That's why it matters. We live in a world that has many dark places. We see it on the news. We see it around the world. We see it in our province. We see it in Winnipeg. Maybe there's some place we see it here in Rosenort. There's all kinds of darkness to varying degrees. There's emotional darkness that sometimes we feel. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Mentally, we can go to dark places sometimes. Physically, when we're limited, we feel quite dark, and life gets dark. Financially, maybe we're looking at our finances going, this is really dark. And spiritually, it can feel quite dark. It affects all of us. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas is one of my favorite movies. And I love it at the end, when after the Grinch has taken, I'm sorry to give away the story, but the Grinch has taken all the toys and he's up on the mountain waiting to hear them to wail and cry, and they all get around the tree without all its lights and they're singing Wahoo, Faro, whatever song they sing, right? And Boris Karloff, the voice, says, Christmas came. Even in what appeared to be a dark thing, Christmas still came. So, now I want to encourage us. I want us to see this, that what we often do in the verses that I'm going to read as to why Jesus came, we look at it only spiritual. It's only spiritual. That's what. No, there's a whole lot more that Jesus actually came to accomplish on the earth. So, going to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And in the context, Jesus shows up at the synagogue in the town of Nazareth, where he grew up. And he shows up at the synagogue. They give him a scroll. I don't know, some passages say he asked for it. Others, it's just the timing of it. But he opens up this scroll of Isaiah, which I'll read, and he sits down, and he stands, and he reads these words, chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that the captives be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. This is what it says in Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 1. And this is what he's quoting. A prophecy. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. And then he rolls up the scroll, hands it back, and sat down, and everyone is staring at him. What's he talking about? Now, we often think it's about our spiritual bondages. And that's true. But there's a whole lot more to what Jesus wants to do in this world than just, importantly, but just set our spiritual life free. Did you notice two words? One is captivity. The word captivity. We can think of it spiritually, but I want you to look around the world. And where is there captivity? Where are the captives? All over the world. Physically captives. Look at the word prisoners. We think about prison, and I've gone to prison a couple of times to visit some people, and even though it's we joke about how sometimes it's three meals a day and they get everything they could need, they're just stuck there, it's still not a safe place. I remember talking to a couple of the guys that I knew were going in. They were told, do not ever tell anybody why you're there. They actually had to lie about why they were there for their own safety. Prison is not a safe place. Let's talk about one more. Human trafficking. Have you heard that? If there's a dark place in the world, that is it. Human trafficking is the forced participation in the sex trade and labor market. Manipulation is used to exploit individuals and take away choice. It's one of the most heinous violations of human rights. Human trafficking exists in two forms in Canada. I'm talking about Canada. I'm not talking about the rest of the world here. I'm talking about Canada. Sex trafficking and forced labor. Human trafficking is a lucrative crime, and the perpetrators are so sophisticated with their manipulation techniques to lure victims in, both online and in person. Predators are talented at recognizing vulnerability, and our best tool is to teach Canadians to know the signs. Have you heard about human trafficking? I hope you have. It is heinous. It is awful. I just read on cbc.ca online, I just read of an individual in just yesterday, brand new post, came up yesterday of a gentleman in Ontario that's reaching out. And the article was about the UN, United Nations, and how they're trying to put a spotlight on human trafficking and how he's trying to help people around the world. And to date, he has helped 200 women get set free from their captors. What these traffickers do is they lure in. They pull in, they suck you in with all kinds of promises and all kinds of promises and gifts and all kinds of things to pull you in, to earn trust. And then once they've got you, you're captive, you're a prisoner, and you are trafficked to whatever they want you to do. Unfortunately, criminal enterprises and traffickers are actively recruiting every day in Canadian urban and rural areas and across provincial borders. It's a growing Canadian problem that goes largely unnoticed because victims are first lured by false trust and then stripped of their ability to make decisions so that they are ultimately controlled by threats, coercion, and manipulation. I got this information here from the Joy Smith Foundation. which we have supported a little bit and read through it, and I'll talk about it at the application and reflection. But it's a growing problem in Canada, and they're trying to educate so that you actually know what's going on, so you yourself do not get. Notice I said rule. That's what they said. Not just the cities, but it's the rural area. Knowledge is our greatest protection. The more we know and understand about human trafficking, the more we can do to prevent it. Education empowers communities against human trafficking. By knowing the signs, we can prevent youth and adults from being lured into trafficking. Now, why do I bring this up? Pastor, this is so depressing. This is Christmas. Well, this is what was going on. This isn't a new thing. This is what was going on in Rome. In the Roman Empire, they were doing that all the time. All the time. And that is the culture and the time that God chose with Jesus to walk into, to appear right into society. And so when he talks about coming to set the captives free, to release the prisoners, he's talking about spiritually, but he's talking about what happens literally, physically around the world. Too many people in the world say, oh, Jesus just cares about our souls and our spirits and the Bible. That's true. But Jesus also cares about what is the real problems of our world. He does. And he's working through many organizations, Joy Smith being one of them, many organizations of helping set the captives free. There are many, many dark places all around us, near us and away from us. And Jesus came to shine the light on all dark places. On all the places where evil hides. You know this. Darkness doesn't overcome light. You bring in a candle. You bring in a flashlight. You bring in a trouble light.
That's what I was looking for, a trouble light.
You bring any kind of light and the darkness dispels. It's gone. The darkness can't encroach on it. The light shines. And when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's talking about the world. He cares about our souls. He cares about our emotions. He cares about our mental. But he also cares about the physical problems of this world. That is the message of Christmas. This is the point of Christmas. Light cutting through darkness. As Jesus followers, we are called and responsible to shine the light of Jesus wherever we go. Into any situation we can. We are to bring hope. We are to bring encouragement. At least a little bit and a lot of Jesus into the situations and to everyone. So what do we do? What do we do when we walk out of here? You may want to visit joysmithfoundation.com and learn more about human trafficking. I encourage you to check it out. It's a good website and a good organization. You may also want to go to prisonfellowship.ca. And they're a great organization. It was started many years ago by Chuck Colson when he was in prison for the whole Watergate scandal. And he was in prison and he came to Christ and became a glowing example. He's passed away now. And started Prison Fellowship because he saw how dark it was in prison. And we have a couple of chapters in Winnipeg, because there's three prisons in Winnipeg, the Headingley and Stony Mountain and a women's prison. There's three of them there. And so you may want to get involved in prison fellowship and to help the prisoners, but also the families that their loved ones are in there. So those are two things that you can do. The other thing is, let's turn personal now. Where is there some darkness in your life, in my life? To actually sit back and go, there's a dark spot here. I need to do something about that. And so what you do is you write it down. You ask the Holy Spirit, say, show me where there's a dark spot in my heart. Show me where there's a dark spot in my life. And Jesus, what do I do? What do I do with this? How do I change that? How do I get help? What do you want to show me? So you may want to look and say, okay, where do I need to change some things in my life? You may also want to pray for someone else who's experiencing some darkness. They've shared with you, or somehow you know it. You just pray and pray and pray about that darkness, that they would be able to see the light of Jesus in their life. And then the other thing you may want to do is December 1st, go online. There's lots of devotionals for Advent. And Judy and I are starting today. December 1st, Focus on the Family has a really good devotional that you can get on their website every day till the 25th. So you want to do that. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? We have all experienced darkness. A dark place. A dark place only exists because we haven't brought the light to it. Put that line up there again, quite. A dark place exists only because we haven't brought light to it. That's the point. Dark place. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come to dispel darkness in the world and in our world, in our hearts and lives. And the invitation is to intentionally spend time with Him. And let the light of the world shine in your heart and my heart, because Jesus also turned around and said, you are the light of the world. Worship team, would you come up? Lead us in a closing song. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. We worship you because of it. And we thank you for leaving the glories of heaven, the brightness of all that heaven would be. And you came to a very dark world to shine your light. We pray as a church that we would be your light in Rosenork and the area, your light in Manitoba and Canada. I pray that you would shine your light around this world, especially this Christmas season. Everybody's thinking about it. It's all over the place. Would you shine your light deep into every situation? And Jesus, we pray for those who are literally being held captive, those that are prisoners, those that are being trafficked. Oh, Jesus, set them free. Set them free. That everyone would come to know you. And all God's people said, Amen.